Hey, but let's go to the bloke that did all the trades, did all the deals. He was in there. He's working 24 hours a day, seven days a week. His eyes are popping out his head. Adelaide Footy Club, GM of Footy Ops and their list manager, David Noble. Nobes, thanks for your time.
Hey, good afternoon, gents.
Now, I started the show with saying I was underwhelmed. Convince me I'm not.
Well, that's disappointing, Rolly, because, you know, do you know where the talent in the draft lies this year?
Well, no. But let's just talk through Luke Loudon and Kyle Chaney, because going in, we had Phil Walsh in the studio saying our needs were a ruckman, a key defender, and outside speed. For me, you've got good depth players and a backup player for a ruckman.
I think that's disrespectful to Kyle, because I think if you had a look at some of his games this year and how he played and the manner in which he played, he completely fits the brief of what we need. We need a strong team-first competitive defender that has the capacity to play on a versatile range of forwards. You know, we've got Kyle Hardigan, who we think is going to be able to develop and come in through there, and Kyle Chaney brings a broad range of experience that we think he's desperate to look for opportunity to cement himself in a side that, you know, he's pretty much got a lot of things in place. I mean, I think underwhelmed, I understand your sentiment, but, you know, in all reality, we feel we've got a lot of talent. We think we've got a lot of pieces in place. We didn't need to go to the draft to be bullish and try to find another necessarily, you know, big-name player. I think that would be a wrong strategy.
I'm not being personal to Kyle Chaney and Luke Loudon. I know they're great blokes. I think Sammy Jacobs is over there now, and everyone you speak to says exactly what you're saying. This gives you the opportunity to the 19th man to put the positives across of the two names they've got, because overwhelmingly we're getting, well, who's Luke Loudon, who's Kyle Chaney? You get a chance to now say that. So if they fill your needs...
Absolutely, Rowie, and that's our job. Our job is to find the gold within, you know, the environment of the AFL football, and we've worked, you know, diligently this year to be able to work to a point where we believe that Luke Loudon brings a great opportunity as a ruckman to come in. Now, we've watched him for nearly 2.5 years. We understand completely how much improvement he has made within his game, and he's ready to go to the next level. We've watched Kyle Chaney for over 12 months now. We've watched him compete. We've watched him put the team above anything else in the way in which he plays. We've watched him take on the big who was down there at a point in time, and he brings competitiveness to our game that we need in the back end of our team. So we have no doubt that whilst they may be underwhelmed in their name, what they bring is a complete another team focus first that we believe is going to make us better in both of those years. Now, we've actually addressed two of those three areas that you've actually mentioned before. So surely there's a tick there to say, well, we've addressed ruck, we've addressed some areas of our defence. It's not a key defender going in there, but we've been able to do that whilst at the same time completely holding some integrity in what we want to do with round one and two and improving our back end picks.
Dave, just explain, with Kyle Chaney, we know that Andy Otten's got his knee and is not going to play for the majority of next year. Do you see him filling that role or more a Lukey Brown? So is he mid-tall, mid-small, or what's
he's 187.
Yeah,
mid-tall, I think, Chris, mid-tall, in how he's played. You know, that capacity for him to play on that rangy 192-3 guy, but then he can play on the 188, you know, type of guy, well, that can be strong overhead without having to totally dismantle your defensive end. I mean, he brings with him a variety that allows you to not have to worry too much about sending too many messages from a match-up perspective.
Yep.
You know, he's got that experience now. He's played nearly 50 games. And, look, he will bring that versatility with him, no doubt at all.
Tell us about Luke Loudon then, and we've seen him play this year and great size. The backup to Sam Jacobs, are you expecting him to play next year, or is he there for you to tweak and get right before he's ready to play?
Oh, no, we think he's ready to play. He's ready to challenge, yeah, for sure. We watched him this year. He's probably been a tad unlucky this year, and that some of his games that our guys watched this year thought that he was certainly challenging Segler in that position of key ruck.
Yep.
He's a little bit different in the sense that he's a tall 206 with speed, left footer that can actually play forward, take a mark, got great spread on stoppage, clean around his feet for a big guy, which is really important. And he's improved, you know, that ruck craft. These guys take a while to improve that ruck craft, and he's continued to improve that ruck craft as we've watched him the last 2 years. We did have a discussion with him a couple of years ago, and were keen on him and have continued to track him as you should with those big guys. And he's your classical guy that's now been in the system for 4 or 5, 6 years, who's ready to take a step forward and challenge. He's not coming in as depth. He wants an opportunity to come and plonk his stamp on the number one ruck spot if he can.
Okay, so going into this draft, Luke Lowden was your number one man, or was it John O'Giles? Where did Gurringe come into that? And I think the 19th man needs that explained.
Well, which one do you want me to start with first?
Well, you missed out on Giles. So going was Giles your number one man?
Well, I don't think there was any point in going through where our order was, Rowie. We felt that Giles fitted a profile, Loudon fitted a profile, and we had probably, for the 12 months, we had a number of other people, a number of other players in that area that fitted a certain profile of what we wanted. And you work your way through that at a particular point in time. So, yes, we spoke to Giles, that's publicly known. He's made his decision to go to Essendon. And so, therefore, you need to then work on what your brief for your department is starting to look like. In this case, we felt that Loudon was the one that offered us what we wanted for that area. Sam's a very strong, robust ruckman. We needed to complement that with a running, more athletically geared player in this sense. Daniel Gurringe, we've watched him for a long period of time. And look, our decision was that we didn't want to pursue it down that path. I mean, funnily enough, we have, you know, some conversation with his manager today, but, you know, that's all just way too late.
We've been down that path,
and we've done a lot. We did a lot of research. We've had one of our key guys here in Melbourne, Stephen McChrystal, has done an enormous amount of work on ruck investigation this year, and we were able to, through the last 2 weeks, use a lot of that information that we've resourced. New coach comes in, we sit down, and we're able to have some really clear data on what those ruck stocks look like. So I can guarantee our 19th man that we have done a lot of work in this area.
He's a left-hand tap ruckman. Is he in front of Jenkins as a ruckman come forward or a forward come ruckman?
Well, look, I think from a genuine ruck perspective, he probably is, Roy, I mean, he's probably got 5 inches on him to start, which has helped.
Yep.
You know, from that side of things. So, I mean, look, Josh has done a fantastic job this year. He's kicked 40 goals. I mean, he's done a phenomenal effort for us as a forward. You could argue the point as to what relief and time is given source. And that's why, I'm a big one for having competition within your stock. In any area.
Yeah. Now, talk us through. We understand it in principle. You had picked 10 and 47, and you've traded that for 14 and 35.
Yep. That was a really good deal. At the end of the day, you know, if we could get another Brody Smith at pick 14 or, you know, so a Daniel Talia around that particular point in time, again, where the talent falls each year, and this is difficult, I'll try to explain it as clearly as we can, the value within your market continues to change each year. So what you have to be careful of when you're comparing or discussing is that the talent and the value of where you land within your trade period can significantly change from year to year. So the talent this year is that the assessment from our guys is that the range of which we've moved is perhaps not significant in the shift. Now, in years gone by, the change may have been too great that we would say, no, that's not worth moving 4 positions because we think that the talent at that point where we are is too great a chance to miss out on versus shifting what we have this year. So our assessment is that slight slide of 4 positions will not hurt us in the assessment of where the talent is.
Okay.
So that's one thing. So the 19th man and our members, be really clear, we are not jeopardising a key talent by moving from 10 to 14 in our assessment.
Well, Paddy Dangerfield was pick 10, so there's no Paddy Dangerfields up to pick 14.
Yeah, again, so therefore the talent of that year, Rowie, means that we wouldn't have done that deal. We're not silly enough to suggest to say, hey, look, let's just move from 10 to 14 and see what we get when we get to that point. We have to make some really clear strategic plans around what we need to do. Our key strategy was to trade for needs, improve our positions where we could, and maximise our values of pick. And we believe that whilst there might not be major ticks, we reckon we've hit all of those whilst bringing in a couple of players and retaining a pick in the first and second round without any damage, in our case, by moving from 10 to 14.
So you're crossing your fingers a bit that the player that you've cited is still there at 14, and you're saying moving from 47 to 35, 12 places in the second round, has far outweighed losing that player if you don't get him at 14.
Yeah, well, we don't think we're going to lose the player that we were going to get at 10. We're going to lose at 14. So, and look, so in essence, we've moved four positions in round one, four positions in round two, and we've actually improved our round three pick. So we've now got four picks inside round three. So we think that's a pretty good position to be from. And can I just assure the fans and the 19th man out there, we're very conscious of our first and second rounds, and you know the coach was really clear in the sense of making sure that we were able to take our first and second round selections this year. We know the circumstances of our previous few years, so don't worry, we weren't at any point jeopardising getting some good talent in by the shift of what we did with those picks.
Feels like you know your man at pick 14, David, that you know who he is and you know he's going to be there.
I think, Chris, that I've got great faith in our recruiting staff. Having worked with them for 3 or 4 years, we were able to brief Phil last week. I think collectively as a team, we've worked really well to put the strategy together for trading and draft. You can't do one without the other. There's no point us trying to do some things in trade if that's going to improve our trade for needs, in this case with a ruckman and a defender.
Yep.
If you're not aware of what your picks are going to be like when you get to the draft table. So we have to work hand in hand, and look, I think they've done an excellent job in the information that we've worked together on.
What are the new boss's non-negotiables? It seems like he's a competitive beast and he wants competitors, and the two you've got in this trade period are both competitors.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, strong character.
Yep.
You know, both of the young guys, they're funny enough, they're country boys. They're both ripping young lads. We know Cole's got a very impressive partner, Saborne. She came over. She's a very well-presented young lady, and she's very smart and operates really well. So they make a good couple in addition to our club. I think it's a real driver for us to make sure that the team is going to be first. That's first and foremost, you know, in the front of mind of Walshy. And they've got to be and willing to compete and play your role. So I think, you know, when you're doing your assessments of the individuals and what they bring to the table for you as a football club, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for those fundamentals of what they're going to bring from a character, from a team first and a competitive level on a football field, but they're great people with great values.
Hey, Dave, can you answer a question for me? And this is not meant to be confrontational, but it's a question that is sort of coming through in a lot of the emails and certainly one that I'm, you know, pondering over as well. Is the Adelaide Footy Club still a club of choice for players? The players wanting to come to the Adelaide Footy Club. It's still a proud, highly respected footy club that players say, yeah, I want to go and play for that club. I like them. I like what they do.
No doubt. I don't have any doubt about that, Chris. It's a really good question. You know, in the sense that I totally understand where Rowie's coming. I respect his discussion around what we talked about before. Eddie Betts, club of choice. James Podziadli, even though, you know, he's getting into the latter stages. We needed to make sure that there was a fair bit of competition around him coming. Tommy Lynch, Josh Jenkins, now Kyle Cheney, Luke Loudon, whilst they're not, you know, household names, I understand that.
Yep.
I don't believe we have any problem in attracting people to be and come to our club as destination. So we don't see that as being in the marketplace at all. In fact, I think with what the program that we're putting in place, I think that is only going to be in hand. Yeah.
No, that's fine. Nobes, so I just think the restlessness of the 19th man to a degree is that they need to have the knowledge you had a crack. Now, we know you do, but it's a good opportunity for you to say yes. So they see a Travis Varko, SA lad, he didn't come home, he moved. They see a guy by the name of Griffin, he didn't come home, he moved. Adam Kearney, names you're probably not even, interested in. But they need to know you had a crack. You know, Tyson Goldsack, you had a crack. But none of them have been landed. So just explain those couple for us, if you can. I mean, and elaborate a bit on the Phil Davis one. I mean, we keep hearing he loves the players, wants to come home. Did you have a crack at him? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do. You guys know me perhaps better than our 19th men or members, although I've been around a while. all of those people that you've mentioned, we have investigated, researched, asked questions, and for varying reasons, which I think would be unfair to go into, because all those guys have differing reasons. We've asked about all of them. We strategise around what could we do with this pick, that pick, this player to get that particular player in. I mean, we've spent probably 2 to 3 months in working around all of those particular combinations. Did we have an interest in Varko? Yes, of course we did, being a South Australian lad. Did we have interest in Griffin? Yes, we did. Did we have interest in Cooney? Yes, we did. But for circumstances which I think would be unfair, Rowie, both from an internal perspective and from a personal perspective, they didn't actually end up landing to that point. So we've had an interest in all of those. Phil Davis, we watch him every year because we have a need to in our back end. So absolutely do we investigate and research all those guys. Yep, we do. But you have to make clear, informed decisions, and that's why I'm so proud of the way and how hard our group works, to be able to get really well-qualified information on the table in a robust discussion that allows you to make a really well-informed decision. Don't forget, you know, we won 11 this year. We're not that far away. Mm. We're not that far away. We need a bit of tinkering. We believe we've filled some needs. We need some improvement in some of our other guys coming through. They need to keep the heat on some of our top-end guys. But we don't believe that we're that far away from continuing to push forward hard in the finals.
Hey, David, then, can I just have a quick chat on three blokes and feel free to answer them any way you feel? Jack Watts, yep. Was he on your radar?
Jack Watts?
Yeah.
No.
Jack Tringo, did you speak to him?
No, we didn't. I don't know where that came from. I got a phone call from the manager. I spoke to the coach, and we, with the injury that was, you know, resulting, there was some discussion around what that was. And again, Chris, it's all dependent on what you're prepared to give up as well.
Absolutely. No, I understand that.
There's a bit of that in there. But, yes, we had some discussion with the manager, but that was driven by them. It certainly wasn't driven by us.
Sure. What about Jared Lyons? His name sort of popped up all the way, and we've all seen him, like him. What's his position with the footy club?
Yeah, we've got a contract on the table. We have had for over a week now, so I've got something back from that. I would think that within the next... the next couple of days, mate, we'll come to an agreement. So we're... Both Walshy and myself caught up with JL last week individually, so we've been working through that, and have always been confident of Jared staying. We've made it really clear to him that we've wanted him to stay. So we're within a bee's whisker. I won't say that, but we're in a bee's whisker of getting to that point.
Any more delistings?
Look, Rowley, I've got to get to speak with Walshy tomorrow. It's just really hard to sort of... I've done most of the trading by sort of phone and Coro. We'll need to now, once we know where we've landed with our picks, we've got to get down to the last bit and then just work out how many selections we'd like in the draft, elevation of Charlie Cameron. So look, we'll probably do that within the next probably 2 to 3 days. Well, if it's not tomorrow, it'll be early next week, I would think, mate.
Well done, Nobes. You answered them really well. A little bit prickly there, but we need to get the right message out from your club on behalf of that.
And I appreciate that, but I just think it's really important for our members to understand, like, this doesn't just operate at the whim of saying, okay, well, let's just, you know, we'll move from here to here and we'll hope we might be okay. Yeah. There's some, you know, I can, at some point, I wouldn't mind taking you through the trade tracker. I mean, when we go through and we work with other clubs, we understand where all clubs' needs are. We understand with how many picks all clubs are wanting to have in the draft, how many rookie picks they want to take, so that you have the intel to be able to then put some of these and construct some of these deals that you might think, okay, crikey, 10 to 14. I'm telling our fans, that's a good deal. What we've done with getting back into the second and just a little bit of a drop in first round to hold our ground, bring in two new players, improve our picks in the back end, I reckon it's really, really positive. I'm really comfortable with where it's at, and I know the coach is as well.
Well, that's the positivity we needed. Phil Walsh is coming in. It was just about filling the 19th man with a little bit of confidence with it. I'm not as underwhelmed, and Nobes, you will be proud, and I know you've been busy. We should have let you go 10 minutes ago. Mm. An entire interview without mentioning Patrick Dangerfield.
Oh, you just did it. You just did it.
What up, Nobes? What up, mate?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
David Noble there, the Adelaide Footy Club list manager. Look, it can get prickly. It's allowed to, because those questions need to be answered. A lot of people were, through the email, the text, the Facebook and the feedback, at Ted Underworld. I'm not as now. Once it's explained and you know. It wasn't an attack on Luke or Cole. It wasn't an attack. They're great lads. Exactly what Walshy needs as far as character and team first. That's footy.
Of course it is. And you just want to know the strategy. Well, once you hear the strategy.
Correct. Last year the Crows got Eddie Betts. This year they got who? Cole Cheney. You can understand that, Phil.